Welcome to the new sound of online radio. Welcome to the sound of Universal Broadcasting Network. Cause you make me feel like I've been locked out of heaven. A mix of today's hits and hard-to-find favorites, combined with the most entertaining and intriguing talk anywhere. This is your sound. This is the sound of Universal Broadcasting Network at UBNRadio.com.
We're talking love in the modern world. This is Dates and Mates with your host, Damona Hoffman.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Dates and Mates. I'm Damona Hoffman, and it is hump day. And we are here to talk about dating and relationships in the modern world. I'm in the studio here with producer Natasha.
How are you doing, Damona?
I'm good. I don't know if you followed any of my live tweets this weekend.
I can't believe you went to the Golden Globes.
I was up in the Golden Globes. They actually let a sister in.
Tell me all about it. I haven't heard anything.
It sounds
yet.
Very glamorous, doesn't it?
It is.
But it was fun. We were in the AMC suite, you know, since my husband's writer on The Walking Dead. And so I got to meet a lot of the Walking Dead people.
Very
I got
cool.
to personally congratulate Bryan Cranston
oh
on
my
his
gosh.
Win, which was really cool. Like to be in the AMC suite, and they had three in a row. They had Elizabeth Moss, who was on Mad Men win.
Wow.
And then right after that, Bryan Cranston won. And then Breaking Bad won for best
oh my God,
drama series.
That's great.
So it was like the level of excitement just like kept going up in the room. So it was really cool to be there. And
how
then Bryan Cranston walks in with his Golden Globe, which is actually a lot smaller than it looks on TV.
Really?
Yeah, I know. I guess
did
like,
you get to hold it?
No. Like, can I hold
your that?
I really thought about it. I was like, would it be in poor taste if I was like,
probably.
Can I just take a picture with your Golden Globe?
You
I'll give it back. It. No, but he was really sweet.
That's great.
Yeah, it was really exciting.
Seth's
nice
next.
Little,
he's next.
Little
he's
going
to get his next year.
I know. I've already had him start practicing the thank you speech.
Good.
I'm like, first off, I'd like to thank my wife.
My wife. Right.
You know, because they always forget it. They get up there and they're like,
my agent.
They're like, oh my God, I can't believe I forgot to thank my wife. It's like, no. You better start practicing now.
You need to get that. Yeah. Write it on your hand.
something. Everybody gets up there and they just like, they lose it.
Yep.
I'm going to remember to thank him when I win my iDate award.
Oh, yeah. I know tonight. That is. I can't believe it. You're totally going to win.
Oh, thank you. I know. I appreciate everybody that did support me and vote online.
Yes.
I appreciate the support and we'll keep my fingers crossed.
And when are the actual awards?
Tonight.
Wow. Okay. So can we watch live? Can we stream live at the iDate Awards?
No, but I'll give you the play-by-play.
Okay, great.
Maybe I'll live tweet from there too.
Okay, yeah, you should.
I don't want to like miss my name, you know. I'm like
hashtag
tweeting.
Hashtag award season.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. Very excited for iDate. And I'm also very excited for our guest today.
Yes.
We have a man with a really unbelievable story. His name's Michael Russer. And not only is he a prostate cancer survivor, but he also has, you know, because of the prostate cancer, he's been dealing with erectile dysfunction. And he has some really interesting tips on how you can still create intimacy, sexual intimacy and emotional intimacy, even with, you know, sexual challenges. So
oh, that's great.
This is going to be a really interesting
yeah.
show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, before we do that, we're going to do D's, dating do's and don'ts.
Great.
All right. So producer Natasha.
Yes.
So last week we had David Cruz, who's the latest addition to the Millionaire Matchmaker
team.
Yes,
he was great.
He was great. He's the first gay cast member on that show.
Fantastic.
And like maybe the first gay person that Patty Stenger's ever met based on what she says.
She, I know.
So she like Patty, she said on Bethany Frankel's show, she kind of got up on a soapbox about bisexuality, and her feeling is that bisexual men just do not exist. Like she thinks if you're bisexual, basically you're just gay. And, you know, so I've heard her say this before, but, you know, she just has this way with words.
She sure does.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people are really upset about it. Like she's offending like the Angelina Jolie's of the world, who's like openly bisexual. She just happens to be with a man right now that she's raising her kids with.
Mm-hmm.
David Bowie.
David Bowie said
that he's bisexual. He's only been married to women, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious, what do you think? Do you think that there is a gray area, or is being bisexual just, you know, sort of a stopgap between, like, I'm not quite ready to just say I'm gay? Is Patty totally wrong on this issue? What do you think?
Well, I like what David had to say about it last week, which was being bisexual is like being at a salad bar. You can have whatever you want, you know, and enjoy it. And you should enjoy it. And that's what life is, and finding a partner is. It doesn't matter. Like you even said before, when you were open to finding your soulmate, you said, I was like maybe one on the Kinsey scale or whatever it is of homosexuality, because you were open to the fact that if it's a woman, I'm open to it. Maybe.
I saw that damn movie Chasing Amy, and I was like, I guess I have to be bisexual,
right?
Because if I say that I'm straight, I'm automatically cutting myself off to 50% of the population.
It's so true.
I didn't do anything about it. But,
being open to it is everything. Yeah. It's, you know.
To the idea.
But I don't think that automatically makes you gay.
Right, right. It's interesting, actually. I have a client now who's bisexual, and I found it interesting on Match.com. They don't even let you search for, they don't let you identify as bisexual. So it's like, it's a challenging time. And then when Patty Stanger goes out there and makes a statement like, there's no such thing as bisexuals, it just,
yeah,
it makes it, it's, we need peace and love. Like,
peace and love, exactly. except everybody. It's not her business anyway, what happens in anyone's bedroom. So she needs to work on it.
What's happening in her bedroom?
That's hopefully some plastic surgery for that horse face.
Oh my God. Producer Natasha, I just talked about peace and love, and you are talking about her horse face.
I mean, if she can be that cruel, then she's got to be accepting of the cruelty that comes back at her, you know?
Right.
And peace and love with her has not worked. So
that's true. You know, she hates curly hair too.
Oh, I know. You told me that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Redheads, right?
Not that I should talk because I have my hair straightened right now. But
that's all right.
Yeah, she hates redheads. She hates curly haired people. And I don't know. I'm sure there's other people that she loathes. But
yeah.
Anyway,
Patty Stanger.
I would say Miss Patty Stanger dissing bisexuals for their sexual preferences is definitely a D's dating don't.
Relax, don't you ask when you want to go to S. Relax, don't you ask when you want to come.
She does need to relax.
I know. I'm feeling kind of relaxed, but I think after this conversation, it might get a little bit heated in here.
Yes.
My guest for today, Michael Russer, he beat prostate cancer, but it did render him impotent. Yeah.
Yes, fully impotent.
Fully impotent. And but since then, his sex life has quadrupled.
At least.
And he has been quoted as saying that his erectile dysfunction is one of the best things that ever happened to him. So to discuss his personal journey and how he is now helping other men and couples deal with erectile dysfunction, please give big smooches to Mr. Michael Russer.
Wow, that's a great way to start a show.
Welcome. So, Michael, you have such an interesting journey. Can you give our listeners a little sense of, you know, how you came to this point and what your personal struggle has been?
Sure. As we were talking before the show, I ended a 26-year marriage just over 2 years ago. And it was, you know, many baby boomers suffer from what I call going from soulmates to roommates. Mm. And it's unfortunate, but it does happen. And in fact, in those marriages, I call that the impotence of lack of intimacy. So it's kind of broken in that way. And 2 months after that, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And in my family, cancer of any kind is pretty fatal. Mm. So I took immediate action and went through a radical prostatectomy, which is the removal of the prostate. Mm. And then after that, as brilliant of a job that the surgeons did, it still wasn't enough. And they put me through 7 weeks of intensive radiation.
Wow.
And after that, it still wasn't enough. I still technically have prostate cancer, but it's under control now, and mostly through diet, and which is great.
Mm.
But in that process, I was rendered, and I knew this was likely to happen, I was rendered fully impotent. Now, the irony of going and being, you know, faithful to my wife even during those last 11 years where we effectively were celibate. And then getting to a situation where I was now legally and morally
free
to explore having a relationship with another woman, the first other one in 30 years, I'm now rendered fully impotent. And so you go through these four stages. And by the way, a lot of men faced with the prospect of prostate cancer actually fear the impotence more than the cancer itself. Because in our culture, being impotent means you're not a man.
It's like death or being impotent. Like it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's not.
No, it's not. And it's, by the way, that position is a choice. And it's part of our cultural wiring. It's very unfortunate. And it's certainly promulgated by the pharmaceutical companies that every other commercial is either Cialis or Viagra or something similar. And it's really unfortunate because it teaches our men, and starting as young boys, as they're about ready to enter into puberty, that's what me being a great lover is all about. And I can honestly say I'm living proof, as well as 15% of other couples who suffer from this can attest that is not true.
Now, so you've said that erectile dysfunction was the best thing that ever happened to you.
Yes.
So I'm sure listeners are sitting there saying, like, how could he even say that? Yeah. How did it change your life, Michael?
Well, from a man's perspective, it allowed me, it actually gave me the opportunity. It was a huge gift and continues to be a huge gift. It gives me the opportunity to slow way down for my partner. You see, when a man gets hard, and I can speak, from
you
personal
can speak,
experience.
Yeah, speak yes, freely here
yes, okay.
on UBN Radio.
When a man gets hard, there is an almost overwhelmingly powerful urge to use it and use it now. A man, the way men are wired, we can look at an attractive woman and be instantly ready. Women are not wired that way, not at all.
Mm-mm.
And
no.
So
need a little warm up.
Yeah. Actually, a lot of warm up is actually a better thing.
Right.
And so, while my libido was never affected, I've always had a strong libido. That urge that comes with being hard, which is primarily I think that's genetically encoded in us to spread our seed as quickly and widely as possible, for
right.
propagation of species. Well, because that urge is gone, because I can no longer be hard, I'm completely flaccid, that allowed me to be much more present, totally present for my partner, focus on her, and then match her sexual response profile, which takes far longer. And what came out of that was so extraordinary. First of all, she's postmenopausal.
Just to clarify for the listeners, so you split up from your wife, but now you're in another relationship.
I'm in now another relationship.
Woman who's your life partner.
Yeah, who's my life partner. Wonderful, beautiful woman. And for the guys out there listening, one of the things you want to do if you're because the stresses of modern day, younger and younger men are affected by ED for any number of reasons. Prostate cancer is just one of many, many reasons.
Right.
And so there's a lot of shame around that.
Yeah,
which
they probably aren't talking about it.
No.
They're not calling into the radio show today.
No, they're not. And it's really unfortunate because, again, that cultural wiring.
Right.
But the thing is that this really ended up being this huge opportunity to really understand how women function in the bedroom, really. And so my partner, bless her heart, she said, when you had the conversation, when it became clear we were going to be more than just friends and hiking buddies, it was a fall afternoon in Santa Barbara, and the light was streaming in on her face. She was just gorgeous. And I looked into those big, beautiful eyes, and I said, "Sweetie, this just ain't happening, and it may never happen. Are you willing to explore other ways of being intimate?" Now, most men, and myself included, are wondering, okay, is she going to look at her left wrist, whether there's a watch there or not, and say, "Oh my, look at the time."
You know what I just realized?
Yeah, exactly. But that's not at all what happened. She says, "Of course." And she's never been with a man who was impotent. And so we essentially set up, and we wanted to make this special because we didn't know what this meant. right? I mean, we're just like launching into something like, okay.
And she had no idea before.
No.
So she's just kind of getting to know you, and then you're like, right. There's something I got to tell you
right.
about my penis.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, didn't quite put it that way, but yeah, yeah. yeah. And so...
I guess that's never what a woman wants to hear. There's something I have to tell you about my penis.
Well, actually I called him Steve. I call him Steve, and she
Steve.
Gets... Yeah.
Let's just call him Steve throughout the rest of
I saw this movie once called Tao of Steve. It was an indie film. that's what it's based on. Anyway,
that's funny.
So we decided to set up this this romantic getaway, you know, make it special, right? So we go to a place north of Santa Barbara called Sycamore Hot Springs. Beautiful. Oh, gosh. It's just incredible. Each room has its own natural springs hot tub.
Oh, my gosh.
And we come in here, and here's this four-poster bed. And it's about 4 or 5 feet off the ground. I'm thinking, oh, thank you, God. And then there's a fireplace and, of course, the hot tub. And then we set the mood and the lighting and the music. And I'm thinking, yes. Now, I hadn't, you know, we had talked about this. One of the things about ED is a lot of men get stuck. You know, there's four stages of loss, right? Mm-hmm. So I need to digress here a little bit. Anytime you have a major loss like that, you go through these four stages, and the first stage is disbelief. Well, mm-hmm. okay, after, you know, 30 years of being together with my my ex-wife, and then last 11 years celibate, and then this happens, I'm going, you've got to be kidding me, right? I'm looking up at the heavens, you know, almost like I'm trying to talk to God. I says, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, what did I do, right? Mm. And then there's anger, and I have plenty of that because I actually blame myself for being so shut down that maybe this is what caused it.
And oh, but you know that that
no,
can't
I know
really
that
biologically.
No. But it's you know there's an energetic thing. And
but
you, know,
you
all kinds
yeah,
of
but
yeah.
you feel
right.
responsible.
Yeah, you feel that, and you feel anger, like maybe a little bit of victimhood, like why me,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, you know, and a lot of men, you know, feel that. But then most men end up in the third stage and get stuck there. And the third stage for most of them is depression and shutdown.
Right. Right.
I'm not by nature a very depressive person. I'm kind of a, you know, figure something out. So I went into negotiation like, well, maybe I can do this or maybe I can do that. Well, none of those things worked. But anyway, I finally got to the point of acceptance, but not until that weekend. Because you see, Damona, when Jackie and I went on this weekend, I said, sweetie, I says, I'm going to bring the highest dosage of every possible medication you can imagine. So I brought the highest dosage of Cialis that you can buy legally. I brought the highest dosage
He's
of
like
this.
He's like going to Mexico to get, right. like, I have a weekend with my girlfriend. I need, give me the best stuff you got.
Well, then there's this one stuff. There's this one thing. It's called Muse. It's an intraurethral suppository, and it is like
that sounds painful. Actually.
It is not pleasant, and she actually ended up helping me with it. Neither is it very romantic. But and then if all else fails, I brought the pump.
I was gonna say this. Yes, there's so yes.
So okay,
the Steve
so
pump.
The Steve pump.
But so, those have to be kind of painful too,
well,
right?
Well, let me get to the. Actually, they're not supposed to be. But let me.
You can
kinda,
like bruise yourself with that.
If you go overboard, if you blow up a balloon, the balloon blows up. Yeah, that's going to be painful. But
I'm sure some guys do it. You know.
Oh, jeez. Anyway. So we
producer Natasha is red as I've ever seen her on the show.
It's going to get more. It's going to get more so. It's
wonderful.
So we start up just by the usual. We don't call it foreplay. We call it intimacy play because I define intimacy as connection. There's emotional intimacy, deep emotional heartfelt connection. It's very vulnerable, and both parties are very vulnerable. By the way, that is the foundation for everything else I'm going to talk about. And then there's deep,
write that down.
Yeah, deep emotional connection. Then there is physical intimacy, and physical intimacy from a deep connection. Now, sex and intimacy, based on this definition, are often very different things. Well, so we get there and we start doing some intimacy play, as I call it, very connecting, right? Not overt genital stimulation or anything. Just really just trying to get ourselves in the mood. And so by that time I had already taken the Cialis, nothing after about 20-30 minutes of this. And meanwhile, I am unbelievably turned on.
So I just, because I don't have a penis, but can you clarify for me then how it works? Because like you're feeling those sexual urges, mm-hmm. but you're not getting erect.
Hard. Right.
So it's possible for you to have an orgasm.
Oh, yeah. In fact, this is what I'm about to describe here is not known by a lot of people, including, believe it or not, some of the top urologists. You would think they would know.
Go figure.
And that's part of the problem, by the way, is the miscommunication between the medical community and the people who are affected by this.
Right.
Okay. Erection, ejaculation, and orgasm are three different physiological responses that are independent. But in normally functioning males, they are coincident, meaning they happen typically at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But they are not required to. And so that's, yeah, and I didn't, you know, and I'm like, okay, let's try this. But I was still, hadn't quite given up on the possibility of being hard. So I tried the sales. That wasn't working. I said, let's try this Muse. So she helped me with that. And this is like $120 a dose. I mean, this is expensive stuff.
Wow.
Not many people can afford it.
You got to really be sure you want to have sex.
Yes, right.
If you're gonna
well,
spend
not
that
only
much.
That, it's not very, it's a suppository right into the urethra of the penis.
Yeah.
And so it's not pleasant and it's not really romantic, you know? And
yeah, that's kind of weird, like that to be like aroused. You then have to put yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And but you know, I was like, oh, I'm not giving up on this, and so we do that, and that should have kicked in at least 10, 15, 20 minutes. Nothing. I says, okay, sweetie, no problem. I said, I brought, you know, in case all else fails, I brought the pump, and this is physics, and I know physics. This works, right? So. Meanwhile, she's laying on the bed, going, kind of looking at me, you know, like, this is interesting.
Do something. Yes, do something here.
So I'm sitting on the bed. And meanwhile, little beads of sweat are starting to form in my head because I'm thinking, okay, am I going down in flames here? Is this really going to work?
This is your first time.
This is my first time in 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm pumping away. And go, right, and getting more excited.
This is radio, so thank
this
you
is
for
radio.
The sound effects.
That's all right. And and then I keep going, and then all of a sudden I double over in excruciating pain because I sucked in my left testicle.
Oh, geez, that can't be good.
No. Let me put it this way. I'd rather be kicked in the balls than what happened there. And
I mean, essentially, you were kicked in the balls. Well, you're
worse.
Kicked in the ball.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you.
Oh,
by this time, I am pouring sweat. And I'm thinking, it's over. It's over before it even started. And I just got really quiet. And I said, that's it. I'm done. I'm done with trying this. Let's just lay together and see what happens. Damona, what came out of that was a lovemaking session that lasted at least 4 or 5 hours.
Hey.
We only went to bed. We only went to sleep because we knew if we didn't, we would be able to drive back the next day. We missed dinner, missed everything. We woke up the next morning and we made love for another 2 to 4 hours.
Wow.
And
so when you define make love
yes.
in this context,
mm-hmm.
This would be intercourse.
Well, no, it's not intercourse.
This is not intercourse.
No, this is non-penetrative sexual stimulation, primarily oral. Mm-hmm. And I learned so many things through this whole experience. Number one, acceptance,
mm-hmm.
right? That's number one. And number two is that because of this, and I let it go, I just really became in tune with her.
Yeah.
And I knew intuitively at that point, because I wasn't focused on this, I was focused on her.
Mm-hmm.
I knew when she was getting ready. And then there's something else, the way the male brain is wired. And for all the ladies listening here, we guys are wired so that harder and faster feels better and better. And that's the way we respond. That's our sexual response, when, especially if we're functioning normally with an erection. Women are not like that in most cases. And so she taught me that. So this is the other thing, is that I was open to her coaching.
Mm.
And so she literally, now, you know, we knew we both enjoyed oral sex before we got started, but she actually kind of coached me on what she liked and how she liked it. And I was open to that because I'd be an idiot not to be, for one thing. And what else, you know, that was it, right? That was the only recourse right now. So I listened to her. And what was so interesting is because I was able to be present with her, I was able to fight this screaming in my brain that as I sensed she was coming close to climax for the first time, mm-hmm. to not go harder. It's what I call the Captain Crunch and Munch syndrome.
oh my God.
You know,
okay,
what
go
I'm
on.
Talking about.
I know, okay, what you're saying. Yeah. I was not expecting that. Like, but yes, they get a little crazy, don't they?
Yeah, well, because their brain is screaming, oh, she's getting close, so go harder and faster. And it's quite the opposite for most women. And so right. I kept it slow. Well, her climax was so explosive that I'm surprised the neighbors weren't called. And but then I had an intuition because prior to this, okay, hey, I did my work, right? And we're done. I didn't stop. I kept going. Eventually she came again, then again, and again.
Okay, wait. We have to take a break. Yeah. This is like very hot in the studio right now. but after the break, I want you to tell us how it is possible for your girlfriend to have multiple orgasms without penetration.
Intercourse.
Yeah. Whew. Stay tuned. You're listening to Dates and Mates on the Universal Broadcasting Network. We're broadcasting live from the Sunset Gower Studios in Hollywood. I'm Damona Hoffman, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Universal Broadcasting Network. You are listening to Dates and Mates. And daters, if you are one of the millions of people that recently signed online to find love, you know, hopefully before Valentine's Day, don't do it the wrong way. So many times people online date and they make the same mistakes, and I want to help you so that you can get that date for February 14th. So go to DearMrsD.com. I have a free video, the 5 biggest online dating mistakes you're probably making right now and how to fix them. And I will show you just the way to online date so you can have fun and also have it be effective so you can meet your mate this Valentine's Day, DearMrsD.com. So, changing gears a little bit, I'm here with erectile dysfunction advocate Michael Russer, and he's a cancer survivor as well as an expert through his own experience of dealing with impotence. Also, you have a new book that's going to be coming out later this year called Hardly Broken.
Hardly Broken, One Man's Journey to Extraordinary Intimacy in the Face of Full Impotence.
So you're giving listeners here a little taste of what you share in that book through your own experience. And but I'd like to encourage listeners also to go to hardlybroken.com where they can get a year of free
intimacy tips and again, intimacy, as I define it, is based on deep connection, starting with emotional intimacy, then going to physical intimacy, and then even in our case, spiritual intimacy. So it's very powerful.
Okay, we have to get into spiritual intimacy in a little bit, but I left listeners on a cliffhanger about your life partner and her 5 orgasms in a row. Yeah. How the heck? You were like the magic man. How did you do this?
Well, I was just in tune with her. And because I didn't have that urge, I didn't feel like I had to, you know, take care of me. And so I learned a few things. Number one, to slow down. Number two, to be very, very present. And by the way, in terms of presence, a lot of emphasis in our culture today is on, quote unquote, performance. And I'm just telling everybody, take that word and put it through a shredder. It has no business in the bedroom, none whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Presence is about being fully present, heart open, vulnerable for each other, and being in no distractions. And when you make love within that context, Damona, there is no such thing as a quickie. There is no such thing as, oh, you know, I'm frustrated. You know, it took us 4 months. It took me 4 months of this kind of lovemaking for me to eventually learn how to rewire my brain and learn how to climax being flaccid.
So that was my next question for you. Like, how do you, but we haven't answered.
No, we haven't answered the other thing.
First
yet.
Question.
Right.
But.
Right. So anyway, so being present for her and then also listening to our intuition and also being coached by her. What she, this is where a lot of women, I think, really need to step up and say to their man in a very, you know, sensitive way, look, I love you to death, but would you be open to exploring some other things that may even take our experience in the bedroom even higher?
Let's get technical here. We have a little bit of time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is it the incorporation? Because, you know, I'm going to get very technical. With oral stimulation, mm-hmm. like if you are directly stimulating the clitoris,
right.
It does, sometimes it needs a little bit of a break. Do you just kind of push through that? Or are you talking about incorporating toys G-spot stimulating, anything like that?
No toys. We use no toys whatsoever. We don't use any outside stimulation whatsoever.
Although they can be nice if you're...
They can be, yeah. They can
if you're
be.
Curious about them, you can listen to Dates and Mates with Dr. Holly, which was on earlier this year, last year, actually, 2013.
Well, to answer your question, it's because I listened to how she likes it, there was no overstimulation. And so it's almost impossible for me to overstimulate as long as I do it the way she asked me to do it. Mm-hmm. And she actually took the palm of her hand and she says, I want you to go just like that. Mm-hmm. Very lightly.
So he's lightly stroking the palm of his hand.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
for those who are listening in audio.
Right. There you go. And I got it, right? Because it was very different than what I used to do prior to her and I meeting. And in terms of her, she is not some sort of unusual sex goddess in this respect. She is fully postmenopausal, experienced extreme dryness, and didn't have anywhere near that kind of sexual response during normal intercourse. Nothing like
that. Oh, really?
No.
Interesting.
No. And so this has blown her mind as much as it has blown mine. But this is the other thing I want to get across is, you know, you asked the question, you know, let me just back up a little bit. It's only gotten better since then. And so this is going on 15 months now. It's only gotten better. So now when we make love, it's still 2 to 4 hours. She will climax a minimum 5 to 7 times. Several times, 9 times. And in one day, it was last Christmas, not this past Christmas, the year before, 13 times. And it's like, and she said just the other day, she says, I feel like I could just keep going forever. I says, well, why don't you? My tongue's not getting tired. And she says, but I want to do it for you. I says, let me tell you something, sweetie. I get so much more fulfillment, deep satisfaction and fulfillment out of giving to you, that if I had to give up one or the other, you doing what you do for me, which is so mind-blowing, versus me giving it to you, I'll gladly give up my own, what you do for me. And what's so interesting, Damona, is she says the exact same thing. Now, here's a woman that's experiencing probably on average between 12 and 15 orgasms a week. And she is ready to give that up. If she had to have the choice, if she could just give to me. So the whole positioning of how we make love is very, very different. And
mm-hmm. No pun intended.
Pun intended, yeah.
So what about you? How do I
feel satisfied? Yeah.
Taken care of in
well,
that way.
Well, the first 4 months, she was very good at it and very, very present. But remember, I had to rewire my brain. And it's very difficult for a man. It's not impossible. I guarantee you it's not impossible. But it's difficult for a man to climax if he's flaccid.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to rewire my brain. Now she can make me, you know, climax like that. And the other thing is that when I do now, they are far stronger, far longer lasting. Because I have no off switch.
Mm.
When a man ejaculates, he goes into
he falls
refractory.
Asleep immediately.
Yeah, he falls in, yeah. That's what I call the grunt, roll over, and snore. And meanwhile, the woman's going, what
Hello?
The? Yeah. I actually graphed this out. I graphed this the common intercourse sexual response profiles for men and women out. I should send you a copy of that graph.
Yeah, we'd
it
love
is
to share
very,
it with our
very,
listeners.
Very, very, very funny. So my satisfaction for the first 4 months, even though I was not able to climax, was so profound. I would, every time we would make love, I'm shaking my head. Why am I feeling so fulfilled and satisfied? I never was able to have a release, but at the same time, it was so incredible.
Well, that's like the tantra, like when people talk about tantra, it's like almost an internal orgasm that could last forever. I don't know, I've never really done it, but probably producer Natasha probably has. Sure. Yeah. But I'm sure it's lovely. But, you know, there's probably also women, you know, you talked a little bit about mm-hmm. your partner's issues, you know, being postmenopausal. But I'm sure there are a lot of women listening that are having sexual challenges mm-hmm. as well. So what do you say to any women that come to you? And
well, if they and actually most of the people I talk to are in relationship that there is no physical sexual dysfunction. It is it's a breakdown. It's a disconnect mm-hmm. that's typically happening first. Well, actually, I try not to bother working with the people that have a emotional disconnect, because that's called therapy, and I'm not a therapist.
Right, that's the hardest thing.
Yeah, it is. But if they have a strong emotional connection, but they're not connecting physically to the point where they're both, you know, feeling satisfied, then the conversation is pretty straightforward. And it's incumbent on both parties to really listen and take heed on the kind of things I say, because I was given a gift of knowing how it can be if I didn't have this, you know, I'm pointing down to my crotch for those who aren't. If I didn't have that overwhelming urge to use it, which is what really dictates the behavior of men, of many men in the bedroom.
Right.
And I'm not saying all men. And the other thing, too, for the men who are listening, I just want to, first of all, acknowledge them that, you know, I'm sure you're all functioning just fine. And I acknowledge you for that, because you can do things I'll never be able to do again. And I acknowledge you for that.
But some of them also may be functioning now, and they don't know what's coming.
Well, the other thing, yeah.
You've got to learn it now.
They got to learn it now. And I see women seem to get instantly what I talk about, because yeah. I hear this from women all the time. Oh, my God, you know, I get very frustrated, right? Because just when I'm barely getting warmed up, he's done. Mm-hmm. And so I share with women, I says, look, I says, part of this is incumbent on you. You need to be able to communicate that with your man, because men don't know. They don't know. They mm-hmm. think they're doing a wonderful job, mainly because there's a British university study that found out that 87% of women vocalized, meaning moaned, not because they were getting so excited. It's because they wanted their guy to feel better, you know, thinking that he was doing his thing, and hurry him up, get it over
with.
Well,
yeah, sometimes we have stuff to do,
you know?
Yeah,
well, that sort of says something right there, doesn't it? I mean, if it becomes like, okay, yeah, well, tell me when you're done. All right. That's not conducive.
It's just the truth of the matter, Michael. We have to take another little break.
We
actually have some more very interesting statistics on intimacy that you're going to want to learn more about. So definitely stay tuned. You're listening to Dates and Mates on UBN Radio. Welcome back to Dates and Mates. I am Damona Hoffman, and I am joined in studio by Michael Russer. He is having some of the best sex of his life, and he's happy to tell you about how you can do it, too. He has written a new book, Hardly Broken, and it's about his struggles with erectile dysfunction and how he has overcome it to have this mind-blowing sex. So you can get your free tips every week in your inbox at hardlybroken.com.
That's right.
So before the break, we were talking about I have some really surprising statistics, but you were just starting to say, you know, working with men, sometimes men don't want to hear this.
Well, because it's, you know, in our culture especially, how you define yourself as a man is dependent upon how well, you know, your woman responds to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they tend to be very, very sensitive about that, understandably. Now, but there's another thing about men that women, I don't think, understand, that we guys, for us, there is nothing, absolutely nothing more important than knowing that we can provide that kind of pleasure that like no other guy can. So, and we sort of know when you're faking the response. And so there's
sometimes.
A part of us, sometimes, but there's a part of us that really wants to please you in the way you want to be pleased, but we don't know how. And mm-hmm. so you need, so for
it's
the
really
women
about
listening,
communication,
total
right?
communication. It means being really vulnerable. And the way I recommend approaching your guy is this. Just say, you know, use your own words, of course, but, you know, sweetie, I just love you to pieces. And you know, being with you, around you, you know, and in the bedroom is just amazing. Would you be willing and open to looking and exploring it? Maybe even taking this up another level.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you approach a guy like that, all of a sudden, their ears perk up along with everything else. And so you get their attention, and you're less likely to in any way challenge or emasculate their ability to be a man.
Yeah, I always say that with my clients anyway, when they're getting into a relationship or in a relationship, that it is about communication and it's all in how you
position
deliver it. Mm-hmm. And that for the most part, if a man is in love with you, he wants the opportunity to satisfy your needs.
Yes.
So whether it's sexual or otherwise, just being able to communicate what you need for him to rise to the occasion. God, another pun. You know, it's a gift for him.
That's
you know,
right.
Like women, we sometimes stay in these, we like shroud our true intentions and, you know, say, oh, if he really loved me, he would understand. And mm-hmm. we don't say it. And I find that men are very literal and it would be nice to just be told, what do you expect of me? Because I'd right. love to do that if you just told me what.
Exactly.
You
hit it right on the head. And I think sometimes
oh, no.
women too. Oh,
sorry.
I know.
I just turned into like a 14-year-old girl. Producer Natasha, you have to open up your mic because you are losing it over there.
I'm off. You can't get over here.
Good. Anyway.
Okay, yes. Right. But here's another. So we were talking about this University of Kansas study that said 67% of women pretend to climax. But the interesting thing, it also said that 28% of men pretend.
Yeah, well, I'd like to see how that works.
Yeah.
But,
that kind of surprised me.
That did, it surprised me, too.
Okay, well, also talking about emotional intimacy, at the top of the show, we talked about bisexuality, you know, when it comes to dating and intimacy. And there was actually a study from the U.S. Census Bureau that said, okay, bear with me. There's some numbers here, but we'll get to the end. It'll make sense. So 36% of women living with a same-sex romantic partner in their 40s had been married to a man at some point. And then among women in their 50s living with another woman, over 50% had left straight married life behind. And this percentage jumps to 75% for those aged 60 and older. So I'm wondering if that tells us something about intimate
yes.
relationships.
In my mind, it absolutely does. I think as men and women get older, men tend to continue to think that intimacy is about intercourse. And for men, that can be a 15-minute, 10-minute, 5-minute, whatever. And for women, especially as they go through menopause, it takes much longer. And it's mm-hmm. and intimacy can mean so many different things, but it usually is not at that age just, you know, going at it for 15 minutes. Then it becomes, I think, for a lot of women, a chore. And so mm-hmm. so I think what happens here is that's in those statistics, Damona, are indicative of what I call the lack of intimacy epidemic in our society. The fact that over 70 million copies of 50 Shades of Grey
oh my gosh.
Has been sold and is mostly read by middle-aged women tells me something. Also, that
yeah, well, and a lot. We a couple months ago, we did a story on the women that actually write this, you know, erotica and erotic fiction. And most of them are like middle-aged women that are like even writing, you know, gay men romance novels. It was kind of surprising when you see who's really having these fantasies. But
right. Well, the fact is that I think it in some ways is used to fill a hole that's missing and
yeah.
a gap that's missing in their sense of intimacy. So they use titillation, form of titillation to fill that hole. And just like the players, the men players, right? They're out there and bending down every woman they see or anybody, mm-hmm. any woman they want. In my mind, they're probably pretty lonely and empty,
right.
Have pretty lonely, empty lives because what they're really, I think, I'm not a psychologist, but I'm just going from my own personal experience. I think what they're looking for really the same things everybody else is looking for. Deep connection with another human being.
Are they? I really wonder.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes. I think ultimately Yeah, I think so.
It's probably deep connection, like with their mothers, that they didn't get.
Well, no, I think
I'm not a psychologist either, but
no. But I think what happens is that again, the cultural wiring is such that the more of a player you are, the more of a man you are.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
And so it's promulgated and actually championed.
Yeah.
In our sports, the same thing. I mean, it's all related. I mean, use sports terms. Yes, he scored, and you know all this kind of thing, right? You know. Which base did you get to this time? And it's unfortunate, and it's I think we've evolved beyond it. And I know most of the listeners on your show are women, and I'm going to share just my two cents if I can. Ladies, you know, you can have an amazing, amazing relationship with your man, but you do need to communicate,
mm-hmm.
and you do need to take responsibility for getting the kind of experience you want to get in the bedroom. And for men, you know, I've taught this to men who function properly. He says, well, what do I do to get rid of that urge? I says, you remember the movie Something About Mary? And you remember that scene where, you know, Ben Stiller's, he's going to meet Mary for the first time for years, and his so-called friend saying, man, he says, you can't go in there with a loaded gun. You got to get rid of the baby batter. So I literally suggest to men that when they try to break their habits of this, try to explore new possibilities of lovemaking, to literally masturbate first before they go in. Then they're not going to be overwhelmed with that. Yeah, the pressure's off. Yeah, I know.
Literally.
Yeah. And then they can then practice being very present for their partner. And believe me, they will still be excited.
Right. They and have a shot of coffee so they don't go to sleep.
Yeah, no, they're not going to go to sleep. They won't go to sleep. I don't think so.
So, Michael, is there, now that you've, thank you for sharing your story with us. Now that you've had the experience that you had, is there a part of you that ever wishes you could just go back to normal function or that this never happened?
Yeah, I've actually been asked, you know, if you could be given normal function back, would you take it? And my answer is qualified. In the sense that, sure, of course I'd love to have that function again if I could control that urge.
Mm.
Because if it meant having it back and not being able to control it versus what I have now, not in a million years.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a million years would I give it up. In fact, it was interesting. I don't know. How much time do we have here?
Like 10 seconds.
Okay. Well, I can't tell you that story on the air then.
Well, thank you, Michael, for sharing, you know, such a personal story with us. And also, I think your tips are very helpful for people with even without erectile dysfunction, so they can really connect with their partner, which is really what it's all about and what we're always talking about on Dates and Mates. So make sure you visit hardlybroken.com, and you know, you can get the updates as well as find out when and where to get the book Hardly Broken.
Right. That's right. And where I'll be speaking, I'm actually speaking in LA in February at the Greater Los Angeles Association of Mensa, and which is going to be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So one of my first things to them is get out of your head.
You're so smart. Well, that's great. We'll make sure that we share that with our listeners and our followers on Twitter. You can follow me at Dear Mrs. D. And if you want more Dates and Mates in 2014, you can always listen to last year's archives on iTunes, Stitcher, and Blog Talk Radio. Just search Dear Mrs. D or Dates and Mates, and you can get all the advice that you need on dating, mating, and relating in no time. Also, don't forget to stop by DearMrsD.com for your free video on the 5 biggest online dating mistakes you're probably making now, and how to fix them so you can get your date before Valentine's Day. This show is a Dear Mrs. D production and has been produced by Natasha Lewin. Dates and Mates has been made possible by UBN Radio, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Huffington Post, J-Date, and The Lash Lounge LA. I just got my fabulous lashes on. You can get yours at lashloungela.com. Don't forget to use the code Dear Mrs. D so you can get $20 off your first full set. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 noon Pacific, where we'll have the latest dating and relationship advice for you to enjoy. And if you have a question between shows, you can always message us on facebook.com/Dear Mrs. D. And until next week, happy dating.